Hello, everybody. Good morning. Hello, Justin. This is Turning Towards Life with me, Lizzie, and this lovely Justin. And we're so glad again to be here. I'm slightly sniggering to myself because we were just testing our microphones. And Justin, you said, say something. I found myself totally frozen and saying something ridiculous. Given that I know lots and lots of words in the English language, I could have said anything and I said something very strange. So, anyway, I'm making myself laugh this morning. It's a very, very sunny morning here in London. And Justin, you've just been on an amazing global retreat of all of the people who teach our coaching work. And I can feel, having heard a little bit about it, that our work is growing in the world. And I'm really, really glad of that. And I think probably by now, if everybody's listening a bit consistently, they will know that I'm 5 months into being a mum to a second baby little boy. And so my world has been very, very tiny. And one thing I'm finding so lovely is knowing how this work keeps growing and continuing and is going to be sitting right here in its evolved form as I step back in more and more. And of course, Turning Towards Life has kept me in this lovely conversation all the way through being a mum to a newborn, which has been super supportive. And as I shimmy back into the world again, I'm so glad to know that there's been deepening happening, Justin, and all the relationships between all the people who do this in the world have been deepened. So our friends in South Africa and Canada and the States and Mexico, and it's just so brilliant that it's happening in South Africa too. And I feel, yeah, really gladdened by that as we step in today after your week away doing that. And knowing that this is also part of that too, that a lot of that community listen to us here. And a lot of people who aren't really part of that community, but are part of this in Turning Towards Life community may get to know about that work one day is really special. So thank you, everybody in that world. And thank you to us for doing this that maybe threads lots of things together as well.
Thanks, Lizzie. It was wonderful to be. We were in Italy, and there were people from all the different organizations around the world that teach the same kind of work, practice the same kind of work that we do. So, New Ventures West in North America, and Convivium in Quebec in Canada, and the Centre for Coaching in South Africa. And then we were from Argentina and the US, and Canada and Switzerland and the UK and South Africa, and I think that's all the different places we came from. And it is a wonderful thing to feel. And we're, of course, that group of people, which then includes Third Space in the UK, is also only a small part of all the people in the world who are somehow working in the service of us humans living deeply in contact with ourselves and being awake to the world, and then being able to be of service to the world and take care of the world, which is what all of this is about. And I was reminded by being away about how much of the world, and we've talked about this so many times in our previous 343 conversations, Lizzie, and you know that I keep track of how many times we've done this, how much the world tells us that the most important thing is to look good and to impress and to get ahead, and to somehow the meaning of life is always out there in a way. And there are lots of out there in a way things that are really important, but when we put meaning there and we forget ourselves, and all we then feel is our incompleteness, we're just constantly trying to fill in our own incompleteness and look for incompleteness in other people rather than turning towards the actual miracle of being living beings. And it's very, what's the word, enopening, to use your word, to me, to know that there are lots and lots and lots of people in the world who care about this, who have a different way of talking about and thinking about what's of value. And it's true that there's lots of different kinds of coaching that keep up that story of get better, get better, get better, move away, move away, move away, acquire, acquire, accumulate, accumulate, get to the top. And so it was very nourishing to be with a group of people who were committed, as people have been, I think, all the way through human history. I don't think this is new. There have always been people who've cared about us humans turning towards the life that's right here. So it's great to come back nourished from that. And actually, this source from this week, which, hello everybody, also welcome to all of you. I didn't think I said that, who are with us and listening. You can find the source always in our Facebook group and in the notes from the podcasts, if you're on that, on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or all the different podcast places. And also on our very lovely turningtools.life website, will be there along with a video of this conversation. So this source, Become the Wind, was gifted to us, Lizzie, by Sahar, who is one of the wonderful team at New Ventures West in the US. And hello to all of them, and thank you to Sahar for this poem. Sahar brought this poem to the beginning of our week and last week, and I was very moved by it and thought it was just right for us. So here it is. It's called Become the Wind by Penny Hackett Evans. What if we built an altar to change? Dedicated ourselves to the idea, bowed down to that which is not steadfast. Perhaps there would be an empty bowl in the middle that might break at any moment. Perhaps in the centre there is only a shard that we must learn to worship. We don't come to this altar begging. We come to be reminded there's nothing to beg for. We are happy. We are devastated. We are whole. We are broken. It rains. It clears all at the same time. Or maybe in the centre there's a mirror which reflects only what is, and not necessarily what is wanted. An altar where we come to meet truth, to bow down to it, to open the window of the heart and accept that there is no choice but to be changed.
Justin. Become the Wind by Penny Hackett Evans. What if we built an altar to change? Dedicated ourselves to the idea, bowed down to that which is not steadfast. Perhaps there would be an empty bowl in the middle that might break any moment. Perhaps in the center there's only a shard that we must learn to worship. We don't come to this altar begging. We come to be reminded that there's nothing to beg for. We are happy. We are devastated. We are whole. We are broken. It rains. It clears. All at the same time. Or maybe in the center there's a mirror which reflects only what is, not necessarily what is wanted. An altar where we come to meet truth, to bow down to it, to open the window of the heart and accept that there is no choice but to be changed.
When I arrived at this retreat in France, Lizzie, last week, I remembered that when I got involved in this kind of coaching and this work, and the first time I went on one of these international gatherings, I was just about to turn 40 years old. And now I've just turned 54. And I was looking back at photographs and I thought, oh my goodness, I was so young. And I know 40 is not young, right? 40 is already in the history of the world. And for many people, we look at 40 and we go, oh, God, that's incredibly old. And I could feel in me, I find these words in this poem so incredibly helpful, because I could feel in me the parts of me that don't want to be reminded of what this poem reminds us of, that everything's changing all the time, that we're all the time, we're happy and we're devastated, we're whole and we're broken, it rain, it clears us all at the same time, and that there's no choice but to be changed. And just that, just time, and I'm just picking one dimension of change. And I had two thoughts about it. So one was, oh, it's really important to look, to look at the things that change and to not look away, because I'm so different to when I was 40. So different in so many ways. There's also a thread of me. We've talked about the thread of things that runs through that's unbroken, that we never let go of. That's true. And so much has changed. And some of it is what I've wanted, and some of it is what I've not wanted. And one of the things I know I can do really, really easily, my habitual way of tuning out of life, of not looking at what we're being invited to look at here, is to numb myself, is to go, if I can really not pay too much attention to my life and not feel too much, and just get on with going, 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 I'll not have to face the fact I'm 14 years older, and my children are grown, and people have died, and I've learnt new things, and I've made some terrible messes, and I've cleaned some of them up, and my body doesn't work the same way as it did, and the world seems more perilous and less perilous. And I could really easily fall into the habit of tuning out, and sometimes I do, and I certainly have done in the past. And the cost of that would be not being in life. Like the cost of denying that I've got all these double negatives now in the sentence I'm going to say. The cost of pretending, I say it this way, that there's no choice but to be changed. The cost of pretending that that isn't true is to live a light life of habit and mindlessness and numbing and tuning out, and that would save me from a ton of difficulty. And none of it would be worth it, because it wouldn't save me from the difficulty either. So this morning I'm feeling really, really glad to say I'm happy and devastated and whole and broken. It rains and it clears at the same time, and there's no choice but to be changed. But I suppose what I also want to say is I think that can be hard won. Like, we really need to, anyway, maybe it's just me, but I don't think so. Really need to pay attention to life in order to, for what Penny Hackett Evans is inviting into us, is to be a possibility. And really need to be around people who remind me to stay awake to it all. Because sleepiness is so compelling.
Yeah, I'm feeling so grateful for the somehow dedication to like the concept of an altar. You know, it's like a conscious place that we come to willingly, consciously, wantingly to consider something, to remember our dedication, to remember what we are, what things are for, what we want in our lives, like who we really are. And so building that altar to change and having change be something that we examine, something that we kind of hold in our hands rather than a thing that we avoid all the time, like you're saying, like pretend isn't there or something, but putting it central rather than having it kind of on the margins, having its way with us anyway, because it's just true. But if we put it central in an altar, it's like, oh, I don't have to like keep turning away from that thing anymore and pretending it's not there. I can put it and wonder what it is. So I'm feeling a kind of, I think I often feel this with our sources, Justin, like a source of relief, you know, of, oh yeah, it's happening all the time. And I could put it central rather than like somehow unconsciously denying that it's there and then it being like smacking me around the face every now and again. And this week I've been feeling very, very tearful about my children changing and the kind of babyhood becoming little childhood and what that means for the relationship between me and my children and how, yeah, it's just filled with grief, basically. And so being allowed to be in this kind of relationship to change where it's really central. It's also, I don't know, like kind of lessens the distance maybe between the denial and the acceptance, because it kind of has to happen anyway. But when those things are really far apart, it seems to be more perilous and difficult. But when they're right close together, like this lovely, incredible poem is inviting us into, it feels like it's more based in reality. Like life is this when I'm honest with myself about it. And so this wonderful line, it reflects only what is, not necessarily what is wanted. That I could keep consciously remembering through this altar that change is right here, right now, always. And I can, and that's what it means to be human. Like that's just what it is to be human. That makes me feel like I can hold it rather than be kind of worried about it coming to drag me through a hedge backwards at some point. And I love this in the context of parenting, in the context of aging, in the context of life transitions, when things happen that you don't expect, when people are dying, when goodness knows, there's so many things that this is about, really. And so I'm really loving this feeling of it being central, and also loving the feeling of relating to other people with this in mind too. So I know I have a pattern of looking at other people and thinking that they're fine and fixed and sorted and everything's okay. And I'm the one in the kind of messy tumult of my life. But if I do my best to apply this to everybody all the time, and instead of just being kind of hoodwinked by the exterior way people look, way people are in their present bodies now, doing what they're doing in this moment, of course, that also matters. But remembering that on the inside of everybody is this process of letting go and change that's happening all the time. I can feel myself also softening towards people as I imagine them kind of in my mind's eye. Oh, yes, that person that I thought looked like everything was just fine and I'm the one flailing around and I'm the only one or something. When I bring this into play in that way that I look at people and perceive others, it really helps me to soften and to be much, much, much more curious, both as to, how I'm looking at people and how I'm receiving people, but also what must it be like for them to be in the same thing I'm in? We're not that different. So I'm really grateful for that right now.
It reminds me, Lizzie, that maybe one of the things that makes our, I love this line at near the end of this poem, to opening the window of the heart, and that's how we find out, we get closer to what's true. I think that our bodies and hearts can get us much closer often to a deeper kind of truth than the thinking that we have about things, which can produce one kind of truth, but there's another kind of more immediate, how things are, what it's like to be alive kind of truth that comes from there. That as long as we're all wedded to the idea, dedicated to the idea that nothing should change, to flip Penny Hackett and Evans' words from the start of the poem, because she talks about dedicating ourselves to the idea of change, we not only do we try very hard in ourselves not to be changed by life, which involves a ton of contraction and a ton of defenses and a ton of which don't, once we're adults, don't serve us very well. They might serve us at various times, but they don't serve us very well in life. But we can also just project that onto other people. So I see you, and I remember you as you were last time, or I remember you as I've mostly known you, and that closes me off to how much is different in you, how much is changing, not only over time, but day by day. That you might be a different Lizzie today than the one I knew last week. And so all of my assumptions, if I hold on to them too tightly, my projections onto you, my idea of who you are, one of the very profound consequences is it stops me meeting you. It stops the tender, intimate in between, which is possible between humans, because I'm relating to my image of you, not you. Just as I might be relating to my image of myself and not to me, if I'm trying to keep change away. But I think that the cost of our doing that is very, very high. Keeping rigid in ourselves, our sense of someone else, projecting that onto them, and then demanding, if I demand that you don't change, if I demand that you're the same Lizzie as the one who I met more than a decade ago, long more than a decade ago, actually, then our relationship would really be in trouble. It would be very, very shallow, and it's possible to go through life shallowing our relationships and shallowing ourselves. And we don't do ourselves service, but we also don't do one another service, because what happens is we leave one another abandoned. That the you that you are, if the you that you are can't be present to me because I'm holding on to a notion of not change, I can't reach you and you can't reach me, and we wander the world like distant from one another. So I think that it's really beholden upon us, actually, to follow the invitation that this poem is making, so that we can meet one another. We have much more of a chance of meeting one another right where we are, and not fighting all of that, or living in some kind of unnecessary fantasy which keeps us far, far apart. So actually, I think this poem in a way is about intimacy. And about intimacy with the world, and intimacy with ourselves, and intimacy with one another, the kind of coming in close to one another that's called for, to really have a chance of being experiencing ourselves as fully alive and experiencing others as fully alive in the world.
Just feeling this openness to being changed in this moment, Justin, and watching myself listening to you and feeling how different it might be that we'd written down, these are the things I'm going to say, these are the things you're going to say, and we're going to try and work out how we say them. Like how different that would be for this podcast, for this thing, than sitting here and seeing what happens when I listen to you, and then what language wants to be born in my expression from what you've said and from what this beautiful source is playing its part in the conversation as well. And it's such a very different way of moving through the world, this accepting that there's no choice but to be changed, but not only accepting that, but kind of invoking that as I go into my life, just as I come into here, I look to be changed by whatever you say. I'm being changed by it. I'm being bigged by it. I'm being led by it. All of the things have an impact that I'm wanting to allow into my system, to my imagination, to my heart. And to see what happens with that. And that feels like a very, very different way of living, to be entering into all the conversations, to be with an intention of being changed, which of course is inevitable on one level, that every person we meet changes us, that every sunrise we see changes us, that every time we put out the bins, we're differented. And then it gets me into this whole, you said the word intimacy, that there's so many relationships that are close and everyday and real, and which also lack this kind of intimacy of being changed by one another, of being shifted by someone's way of telling a story or speaking or making a cup of tea. And I'm really feeling invited by that. That what is it to walk into all the encounters today with the world that I'm going to have and see what it means to be changed by them and notice what change happens. What happens when my nephew doesn't say hello to me really because he's getting on with this whatever? Like it, that will change me. And I'm going to feel really connected to that because of this conversation and this poem. And it's also, there's a thing about the word change as well, like as if implicit in that word, we should be different or something. But I don't think it's that here. I think it's being bigamed by, being altered by, being added to by, or something like that. But it's not like, and it can't happen anyway. Like change doesn't happen that way anyway, where I suddenly become a different person or something, where I suddenly drop something that I've had for years. It's so iterative. So I feel like that's really important. It feels like subtle and iterative, this kind of change that we're talking about, because it doesn't turn me from one thing into another or something, which you could understand by the word change, but it does grow me, make me different, but different in a subtle and already kind of way, if that makes sense.
That's thank you, Lizzie. That's such important language. Maybe one of the reasons why we harden our hearts rather than soften our hearts is because we're frightened that the world will change us from person A to person B, like I'm being asked to give up on myself, to abandon myself. Sometimes we are. I mean, sometimes defending ourselves against that's no bad thing, right? When someone's taking advantage of us or But this deeper kind of way, I was thinking, as you could say that everything's changing all the time, but you could change the last line of this poem into something like, "There's no choice but to be deepened." Or there's no choice if we really soften ourselves to get closer and closer to the ones that we already are and have been all along, and get closer to the world as it is and has been all along. That could be another way of saying what this process is. And it occurred to me to say, whilst you were talking before, that the paradox is that we're often terribly frightened that we'll be changed in ways that take us far away from ourselves. So we harden ourselves up and withdraw from life in habit and asleepness to ourselves. But what we really long for is intimacy with ourselves and others in the world. We long to be close to the world. It's the thing we most long for. And songs can evoke it in us, and poems can evoke it in us, and people can evoke us in us, and a sunset can evoke it in us, or a tender moment with a child or a lover or a friend. So we really long for it, and we're really frightened of it. Maybe we're frightened of the wrong parts of it, and that's why we need conversations like this and poems like Penny Hackett Evans. Thank you, Penny, for this wonderful poem. So this is a great place for us to end, I think, for today, Lizzie. Thank you for being here, as always, all these weeks. I feel very proud when I was abroad and you were here and last week, and the Wi-Fi wasn't great, and we managed to make it work, and we've kept up our unbroken run of many, 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 many conversations. And thank you all of you for being with us. Whether you just joined or you've been with us for a long time, you can talk to us, hello at turningtowards.life. It's a good place to start, or Justin or Lizzie. You can support us with a cup of coffee. Just head over to the turningtowards.life website, and you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you want. That really helps too. The last time somebody left us a review was a year ago. So if you feel moved to putting in some stars and writing some words that will help other people find us, we'd be very grateful. But mostly just thanks for being with us and listening and being part of this conversation. And all being well, we'll be back next week. Bye,
Thanks,
everyone.
everyone.